You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympics have caused a significant amount of controversy over the past couple of years due to the risks that COVID-19 poses to the athletes and teams involved in the Games, spectators, and of course the host city, Tokyo. For months leading up to the Games, polls have shown that the majority of Japanese citizens did not want the Olympics and Paralympics to go ahead in Tokyo, and large protests have been taking place in the streets of the city, with citizens angry that the Games have continued, despite the COVID-19 pandemic still being a massive elephant in the room. Another issue that comes with the Olympic and Paralympic Games that you may or may not have thought of before is greenwashing. Dr. Benoy Kampmark is a senior lecturer in the School of Global Urban Studies at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia. And he says that the sustainability and greenness of the Games is an act of theatre. Even though the International Olympic Committee has made strong commitments to ensuring the Games are carbon neutral or even carbon positive. I spoke to Dr. Benoy Kampmark about this issue of greenwashing, how sustainable this year's Olympics truly are, and what it would take to make this huge sporting event a leader in environmentalism. I began by asking Benoy to explain what greenwashing actually means.
Yes, so greenwashing is the concept used essentially to give the impression of genuine environmental and ecological change. So it's the idea that you are implementing policies and strategies to actually improve a degraded situation in an environmental sense, but you're not actually doing so. It's very superficial. And I think since the topic we are looking at is with the IOC and the Olympics, it's one of the classic examples of how greenwashing is implemented, and in the sense that they are very good theatrically about advertising environmentally green and sound policies. But when you start teasing them out, you realize that that's not quite the case. There is a lot of show taking place, a lot of theater.
So let's talk a little bit about what commitment the IOC has actually made to sustainability, just to sort of start us off on why greenwashing is a problem for the IOC.
Well, the IOC has been in this, dare I call it, the green game for quite a long time. It already in the 1990s, and it was certainly in response to the UN Agenda 21, the Olympic Committee, the IOC, was interested in adopting their equivalent of Agenda 21, which was to center the nature, if you like, or the environment at the center of Olympism, as it's called. Juan Antonio Samaranch, of course, the former IOC head, was very much keen on that. And then since then, there have been various articulations of committing the IOC to carbon neutrality and sustainability goals and so on. So in terms of their projected line, they've actually said that, for example, games like Tokyo 2020 and then the forthcoming Winter Olympics, and then essentially right up till 2030, where it won't be just carbon neutral, it'll be carbon positive. So they're actually talking about, in the sense of how environmentally good they're going to be. So they've made various commitments, they've made various political or policy objectives, the building of a so-called, or planting of a so-called green wall in Africa, the planting of forests, their arrangement with the Dow Company, and all of these are supposedly meant to achieve decarbonizing the environment and having sustainable games.
Now, let's talk about this Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics, currently taking place. It has been said that this is the most innovative games in history. How green are the Olympics and the Paralympics this year in Tokyo?
Well, this is the interesting thing. If you were to read the IOC dispatches, and if you were to read a lot of coverage on this, you would see the following things mentioned. You would see, for example, the focus on zero wasting, maximum energy savings. These are the words of the IOC, by the way. The restoration of biodiversity, all these goals. And then you would see various specific things done by the IOC Committee of Tokyo, the recycled plastics being used in white T-shirts and trousers worn by the torchbearers during the opening ceremony. The Olympic flame itself being itself, made out of recycled materials. And of course, the famous beds, the so-called the recycled cardboard beds that I'm sure you're probably familiar with, yeah. Many of your listeners, that are meant to, the 18,000 that have been actually made by the Japanese bedding company Airweave, and 8,000 of those are supposedly going to be repurposed for the Paralympics. And then, of course, the medals themselves have been made from, metal extracted from iPhones and so on. So we've got the image there, we've got certainly a lot of advertising, but when you look at the actual positioning of where Tokyo is relative to even previous Olympics, it's actually not particularly very sound in that. In fact, there was a study done in April, which was published in the journal Nature Sustainability, that showed that Tokyo ranks actually rather poorly when you consider the authors there looked at 16 previous Olympic Games and found that essentially they've been getting progressively worse. And the reason they're getting worse, of course, is because they're getting bigger and there's a greater emphasis, as it were, on these size events, even though the rhetoric, of course, is very much in terms of the green type that we would expect to see or hear.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about COVID-19 because there have been protests about the Olympics taking place at all, and COVID-19 has already impacted the Olympic Village. It's clearly having a significant effect on the Olympics this year. So how has COVID-19 potentially impacted the greenness of this Olympics? There are not very many people watching the Olympics. These huge stadiums have been built in Tokyo, and no one but the athletes and their trainers are using them. Does this impact the greenness of the Games?
Well, there have been some ironic effects, and I think this is even beyond the Olympics. The COVID-19 pandemic has, with, of course, the imposition of lockdowns globally, the cessation of many economic activities and so on, has led, oddly enough, in many instances, to a bit of respite for the global environment. So in a funny sort of way, COVID has actually inadvertently brought in an element of greenness to things. And ironically itself, the same thing in Tokyo, with the fact that there are fewer spectators, they're just the dignitaries, officials, people staying home. That in itself has its odd environmental effects. But as you rightly point out, the infrastructure has been built, it's there, the services are there, and so on. So the fact is that, it will be interesting to see what happens with COVID as to how they how games like this are going to be approached in future.
We're talking about the future and how the games might look in the future to obviously deal with COVID-19, but then also work better for a more sustainable future for a massive sporting event like this. Could you just briefly touch on those points about what needs to change to make the Olympic Games truly a sustainable green event?
The only way that it can be a truly sustainable green event is that size does matter, and the IOC will have to accept something that it has had enormous difficulty doing, given what we said, what we're talking about before with revenue, with broadcasting and so forth, the enormity and scale of things, that they will have to have a pared down event. And that means, of course, fewer spectators. It may even, God forbid, mean fewer athletes, fewer dignitaries. So all of those things the IOC simply does not want to hear. So the first thing, the event should be smaller. There are fewer spectators. There have been suggestions that spectators, they could be given a more digital experience, for example. So more innovative ways like that in future Olympics, so that we have fewer stadia facilities and so on. Another idea is this notion that you simply rotate it amongst existing cities who've either hosted it and have the facilities and the means, and that minimizes disruption to infrastructure and dislocation to those residents and people in those cities. And then, of course, thirdly, which is very important, that the goals and the objects are being actually met in a way that's accountable. Because one of the huge problems with the IOC and also with the committees of the cities hosting the games is that they're simply not accountable for the actions they take, be it financial and so forth, be it in terms of whether they have green policies or not. And precisely because of this lack of accountability, an agency or some independent body verifying that this is being done would be another useful way of trying to cope with the problems of whether an event like this is green or not.
That was Dr. Benoy Kampmark, a senior lecturer in the School of Global Urban Studies at RMIT University in Melbourne, Australia, speaking about the greenwashing of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic and Paralympic Games.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.